And then you mentioned for something like transactions, both protection and speed. For protection, we have a FlashBots integration. So you can make all of your ETH sendor transactions, basically all your transactions, go through FlashBots. So it skips the mempool. And then we also have multi-region transaction submissions. So instead of sending your to one node or one region, we broadcast it to all of our nodes in all different regions. And this allows for faster propagation and higher chance of a validator or a miner to pick your transaction up.
Welcome to Mission DeFi with Brad Nickel, where we explore projects in decentralized finance that are innovating and driving our mission of financial freedom forward. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, and review Mission DeFi and spread the word by posting a tweet to the show. All opinions expressed by Brad Nickel or his guests are their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Black Knox, Material Indicators, or any other affiliated organizations. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Brad Nickel or his guests as an inducement to make a particular investment, follow a particular strategy, or become involved with any project. A project being featured on the show is not an endorsement of that project in any way. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Now, here's Mission DeFi with Brad Nickel.
All right, I'm excited today to have Dmitry Shklovsky from Quicknode. And Quicknode is a really important infrastructure provider in the crypto space, in the DeFi space, but they provide infrastructure almost sounds like a boring category, but you guys are actually providing quite a bit to quite a large number of projects. And even projects that provide similar services are making use of your infrastructure. Not only are you an infrastructure provider, but you guys do a lot of educational work. You do a lot with helping founders get to market beyond kind of what you provide as a service or what people are paying you to do. So Dmitry, if you could give us a little intro, a little background on yourself, and then we can get into kind of how Quicknode came about and why and what it does.
Awesome, Brad. Well, I appreciate you having me on the show. Co-founder, co-CEO of Quicknode. We are a Web3 infrastructure provider. We want to be the go-to platform for businesses and enterprises working with blockchain. But, you know, at the end of the day, we understand that on the other side of our platform is a developer. So we're very much developer focused and also, you know, very much inclined to give back to the community. Like you said, we have a guides page with, I believe, well over 100 quality long tail original guides. We have extensive documentation page. We have a YouTube channel. Just today, we published a video on how to create your own ERC-20 token. I think earlier in the week, we published how to create your own NFT on Polygon. So there's a lot of educational content. We've been doing this since 2017. That's when we founded Quicknode. So nice. We feel that we have a certain responsibility to educate people because this is something new. We don't want people to be afraid of it.
Right.
Rather, want them to understand it, to embrace it. We do believe that this is the future of many, many things. It's a new layer of the internet. And I feel like we have a good understanding of this because we've been doing internet infrastructure since around 1998. You know, one of our co-founders goes way back. Yeah. So
sounds like they might almost be as old as me.
Perhaps, you know, we've seen the transition. I mean, I grew up with 5 1/4 floppies playing MS-DOS games and Norton Commander.
Nice.
I think we chatted Lotus Notes, which I already forgot about that.
But, right.
You know, we've seen the evolution and, you know, we come from a background of running data centers, managing thousands of servers across a wide range of applications, whether it was like WordPress, blog hosting, to media websites, to news. So there's just, you know, we have a really broad range of experience. And the last project we built was a content delivery network where we manage and operate 14 data centers around the world. And what a CDN does is it caches, it creates copies of the web content, whether it be the entire web page or a video or an image. And it stores it in these 14 regions around the world. So when somebody accesses your website, it's not traveling over continents or across oceans to reach you. It's coming from, you know, the nearest large city or the nearest hub. And we're taking all of that experience into Quicknode. And this is one of the reasons why we built Quicknode, you know, multi-cloud, multi-client, multi-chain, multi-region, trying to eliminate any single points of failure, because we encountered those single points of failure in our previous infrastructure, well, in our previous infrastructure companies. And we do believe that this being the new layer of the internet, it's really important to do it right and learn from mistakes or things that could have been done better before.
What was the thing that kind of moved you guys in this direction, right? Like, you've got all this awesome infrastructure experience. Was it kind of like, okay, I mean, you know, CDN's a crowded market, right? And it's a competitive space. What was it, something of, hey, what else can we use our expertise on? Or did you guys kind of get engaged with crypto before that and jumped into the crypto market because of that?
Yeah. So, you know, we started the CDN project 2014, 2015, where it wasn't as crowded.
Right. But it, okay.
To quick note, it was more of a calling. We had just sold our company to Komodo SSL.
Nice.
Which is one of the largest, if not the largest, SSL certificate authority. And as we were transitioning out of that, this was around 2017. It was the ICO craze. So we were thinking, we were trying to participate in some of these token sales or try to buy an ENS domain name. And at the time, you had MetaMask or MyEther wallet. That was pretty much, you could use Mist, but which was the Ethereum Foundation's own client, which actually ran a full node on your computer, but it was super, super cumbersome. So most people used MyEther wallet or MetaMask. And there was such an influx of people trying to use this new technology. And the owners of those two projects weren't expecting this influx of people, especially not all of a sudden. So they had, like, you know, you have 10,000 people trying to participate in a token sale, and, you know, you're running, you know, six nodes on the back end on a single provider with a single load balancer, and quickly that gets overloaded. So now everybody that's trying to participate isn't able to. But if you ran your own node, you could swap out the default RPC provider for your own, and then you had no problem. So it's basically like an express lane to the blockchain. And, you know, you can visualize this as there's one door, and there's 10,000 people trying to jam into that door, and maybe one person gets in or two people get in. But at the end of the day, when the nodes get overloaded and they all fall over, the website just breaks. And
right.
You know, we reached out to Taylor Monahan and
at MyEther Wallet,
the co-founder. Exactly. And we said, you know, guys, how can we help? You know, we're coming from, you know, nearly two decades experience with infrastructure. And what we learned is they were front-end developers. They were just trying to build the best product, but they weren't really versed in hosting or cloud infrastructure or anything like that. But that's our bread and butter. So I'm like, well, look, we see the expansion here. We'll see where this could potentially go. Mind you, this is 2017 and Ethereum is still pretty new. You know, we knew Bitcoin since 2013, but the whole notion of smart contracts was still pretty new. But
sure,
we found it, the four co-founders found it fascinating and said, look, if this becomes a thing, today there's a MetaMask and MyEther wallet, but tomorrow there's going to be dozens of these, and they're all going to need help. And well, here we are today.
That's awesome. That's so cool that you guys kind of fell into seeing the pain of people trying to do these ICOs and not being able to sustain the traffic and make it fair. And immediately, you've got this expertise of how to build out this infrastructure to make it possible for people to sustain it. And that's fantastic, man. That's great. So tell us, you know, quickly kind of everything that Quicknode does. I know it's primarily focused on these nodes, but tell us about what it does, how it functions, and let's get a little bit more into, you gave a pretty good explanation of how it works for users, but if you want to climb a little deeper into that, that'd be cool. And then talk about kind of what else you guys are doing and what else you're involved with as a company, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. So at a high level, we run various clusters of nodes. And what a node is, it's a client that maintains an up-to-date copy of the blockchain. And today we support 16 different chains. And within those 16 different chains, we have various networks. So we actually support over 30 different networks. Like, for example, in Ethereum, you have mainnet, which is the real money. And then you have three or four different testnets where you can it's basically play money, and you can play around with your, it's a staging environment, let's call it that. So we run these nodes, but we also develop middleware that helps these nodes function better and allows users that are using our platform to use this data beyond GlobalSpec. So, you know, there's if you try to request, if you try to make 10,000 requests a second to a single node, it's going to fall over. It won't be able to handle it. So we run dozens of these clusters on really powerful hardware. We have middleware that does parallelization. So if you send 10,000 requests, it'll split, you know, 2,000 here, 2,000 here, 2,000 there. And then once it gets the responses, it'll bundle the responses back and serve it back to you just as if it were from a single node. So to you, it's transparent.
Nice.
There's also some caching magic. There's also some indexing magic, which just improves response times, improves speed. Again, drawing from our experience in CDN, we understand that speed is super important, and blockchain and Web3 is notorious for being slow. You know, you click on a button, maybe you have to wait, you know, to the next block, it's like 30 seconds, or in Bitcoin, it's like 30 minutes could be. So we try to make this experience as close to the current way of the web as possible. And yes, you know, we have customers to whom if a call takes longer than 500 milliseconds, so if it takes more than half a second to respond, that feature of their website doesn't work or breaks. And then in the case of Solana, you have a new slot every like 300 milliseconds. So you really, really have to, you really have to quickly get the data and then deliver it to whoever is asking. And then we also have higher level abstractions, NFT APIs. So, you know, if you want to know who's the owner of this NFT, you would typically, by protocol spec, you would have to make like three or four different smart contracts. But with our NFT API, it's just one line of code, or rather one call, and you get the info you need. And we do the same thing for tokens, so like ERC20 tokens. And then you get a whole suite of tools inside our user interface. Analytics, you can see how your app is interacting with the API. You can see where your users are, like where the peaks and valleys of your traffic are. So this helps you optimize your application. And security features, make sure that your application is not being abused. So there's just a number of things and a lot of value that developers get when they're using a platform like ours versus maybe doing this in-house or running their own node.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you've got to have the staff and expertise and team to actually be able to run that kind of an infrastructure yourself if you're trying to do it yourself. And secondarily, you're cutting down pretty significantly the development time that people have to do to write all of the interface that you guys have already done to the tokens, to the NFTs, to the systems and the functionality and the data you can provide. And then I think also incredibly important is you are able to optimize performance and routing so that transactions can happen more rapidly. So when somebody's doing something like a trade or whatever they might be doing on a DEX or whatever it is, I mean, speed is absolutely critical, especially somebody that's, you know, trading of size or trading a lot. It's already painful enough for the actual blockchain itself. So you guys provide that layer that makes it faster and perform better, which then allows the project founders to say to people, you know, we've got this reliable, fast infrastructure that we've built upon, and we've reduced the amount of development we have to do.
Yeah, I can touch on a number of those topics. So if you if you want to learn more about what we're doing, we constantly blog. You go to blog.quicknode.com. We recently wrote a performance blog on how we compare in terms of response times and latency to other providers. And then previously, we wrote a blog on why businesses choose Quicknode. And that speaks to our expertise, our resiliency, our multi-cloud approach. And the goal for us is to lower development costs and reduce the time to market. So you can literally write a smart contract, throw up a front end, plug in Quicknode, and you can basically go live. And if you can do this in a day, fantastic. And we also handle all the scale. So if today you have one user or 10 users and tomorrow you have 1,000 users, you don't have to think about, oh, what kind of hardware do I need? What kind of cloud instance do I need? Or do I need 10 of these nodes or 100 of these nodes? Do I need a load balancer? Do I need to clone this setup in different regions around the world to make it faster? So yeah, this all of this is taken care of by us, transparent to the user. So all we want the users, our customers to do is build the best experience, the best product for their customers or their users. And then you mentioned for something like transactions, both protection and speed. For protection, we have a FlashBots integration. So you can make all of your ETH SendDraw transactions, basically all your transactions, go through FlashBots. So it skips the mempool. And then we also have multi-region transaction submission. So instead of sending your to one node or one region, we broadcast it to all of our nodes in all different regions. And this allows for faster propagation and higher chance of a validator or a miner to pick your transaction up.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I mean, I know there are providers out there that do things like trying to optimize the network for transaction speed, but when you guys have both the RPC nodes infrastructure that can scale and on the fly, as well as kind of the data that you're collecting, as you, I'm assuming that as you're doing all this, I mean, there's this massive amounts of data that allow you guys to continually optimize how you're doing it. Is that something that you can also provide to customers? Like, let's say a large trading firm wanted to utilize QuickNodes to optimize their trading. Are you guys able to provide data back to them from your APIs that says, you know, or do they not even have to think about it? They can just connect to you guys and get the fastest speeds for executing transactions.
Yeah, it depends on the application and the use case. We don't collect a lot of data outside of how your RPC, how your endpoint is being used. So if you just want to know, you know, has your endpoint been used to send, you know, 1,000 ETH SendDraw transactions or make 1,000 ETH calls, we have analytics that display that. We are working on improving our analytics, but that is forthcoming, I believe, before the end of the year, if not the first in January. And that will provide the users more insight into what their app is doing. And we're also, you know, there's a lot of talk recently about privacy and that. And we're also working on an option to have these types of things opt in. So if you don't want any of the analytics, if you don't want any of these cool things that having some of this data enables, that's fine. You can just have the bare minimum, which is to say it's still a lot because it's still using our global network, but maybe some features won't work because you choose not to have your endpoint tracked. But yeah, I think the analytics part and having that inside the suite out of the box, where if say you were doing this in-house or if you're a company and you hire a team, not only would you encounter expenses, but you need to set something up like Grafana or Datadog and maintain all that. And that's just additional expenses where with us, you pay for your usage and you have this entire suite out of the box.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. I mean, look, you know, I'm assuming that when projects get to billions and billions of dollars, at some point they think about having their own infrastructure. But from the list of customers you have, it looks like you guys make it so easy that even the largest players in the space are sticking with utilizing your infrastructure because it's much easier than building out that themselves. In terms of, can you give us some basic numbers or data on how much you guys process and daily, monthly, whatever? Is there some kind of, I don't even know if there's any uniform data you could give on that, like number of calls, that kind of thing that you guys talk about?
Sure. We process over 250 billion API calls per month. And wow. to compare, that is almost as many search queries as Google gets. So, and again, we're super early. And as you said, we have companies like Adobe, PayPal, Twitter, and then like these are non-Web3 native companies. And then in the DeFi space, you have 1inch, for example. And then you have the more Web3 native, your Magic Eden, your OpenSea, your Chainlink, also leveraging us because we do make it easy. And right now we're a team of 116 distributed all around the world. And this just improves the experience by an order of magnitude. You know, there's always someone there to help if something goes wrong. Our enterprise customers have dedicated account managers and dedicated account teams who are not only there to assist and make sure that that customer is successful, but also listening to how we can improve our platform to solve some of their pain points that they're having.
And it also, I mean, obviously it allows people to get cross-chain. Do you guys have like a base of users that are just consumers that just want their own RPC nodes for their own transactions as well?
Yeah, so this is an interesting trend we've seen. You know, when we first started, we were targeting basically retail customers who were just trying to use, you know, ENS or buy some tokens. And you know, first there was a crypto winter 2018, 2019, and that was a transformation where a lot of these retail customers went away and these long-term builders who believe in the technology and are really trying to move the internet forward and trying to do things that just simply weren't possible before began building with our product. And, you know, this is where we see today. It's a really cool mix of, you know, your everyday traditional user that's maybe using an RPC endpoint in MetaMask, or you have, you know, DeFi platforms, you have NFT platforms, you have analytics platforms like your Nansen and Duna, and then, you know, exchanges like Coinbase as well. So this is one of the greatest things about working on the infrastructure level is that we encounter everything under the sun. Universal basic income applications, wow. Zedron, the horse racing game, the list goes on. And again, it's such a privilege to be able to work with all these people who are just trying new things. And, you know, some of them have been really, really successful.
That's fantastic. And I'm assuming that from a support perspective, you guys have really got I mean, 116 people is a lot of people, but I'm assuming that, you know, supporting retail users and developers is a different skill set across the board. So and from my perspective, the team you have to hire is pretty varied, right? You've got to have developer expertise, you've got to have infrastructure and server expertise, management of data centers, that kind of thing. Has it been difficult, you know, finding the right kinds of people that you need to fulfill positions so you can scale your business even further?
Yeah. And it's been quite the roller coaster because, you know, a year ago when the economy was on fire, everything was booming, there was a lack of talent. And so it was difficult to get, you know, quality people. But thankfully, we have developed a good network over the years, and we've, you know, our work ethic has managed to attract some really excellent talent that helped then through their network attract even more talent, you know, former Oracle, former DigitalOcean, former Equinix, like just the top of the top have come because Web3 is an interesting, it's such an interesting field. There is tremendous room for growth, and you know, it's like white space. You can create and develop anything you want. You know, today you could put out a tool that, you know, 10,000 people are just, you know, they're thirsty for it and get amazing adoption. So now the market's a little different. There's a lot more talent out, but I'll give you another view. We are a remote first company, so we don't have a central office. And this is after spending the last, you know, 15, 20 years in a NOC, a network operation center, or inside an actual data center with all this buzzing and like megawatts of power. We said, look, there's so many tools that we can leverage, lots of SaaS, you know, you have Slack and Google and so many different tools that you can do this in a distributed fashion and playing into the spirit of decentralization. This is why we have people across the United States, across Europe, across the India, APAC region, and we all work 24/7 around the clock through shifts. And yeah, while it's a challenge, it's a fun challenge. And again, pulling from our experience running multiple infrastructure companies before, we're having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, and I'm assuming right now, yeah, it's a little easier to attract talent from within the in the crypto space. And well, actually, now tech companies are laying off a lot of people, so if you guys need them, they're available as well. I have to have a sense that as you guys see market, I almost feel like you guys have a dashboard internally to what's going on across the market, right? I'm assuming you guys can see these massive surges of everybody trying to get out of something when the market's beginning to crash or things are happening on a particular chain or a particular protocol or whatever. Are all of your systems so automated that you don't have to really worry about these massive surges in terms of what gets deployed and how you manage that?
So we don't have that kind of granular insights. Obviously, we see the amount of the types of API calls coming in, but this is not something like which coin is being traded. That's not something.
Oh,
we
no,
focus
no,
on.
I don't mean that. That's
That's something we leave to the Nansen, the Dune. You know, it's public information. We just provide the access to it, and if you, however, you want to make sense of it, whether through your own dashboards or through third-party applications, that's up to you. Yeah,
sorry. But your system then. So if there's a massive
auto scaling.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. We monitor and benchmark everything. So you can imagine, you know, if we see a certain region being overloaded or exceeding a certain threshold or capacity, we will automatically spin up additional capacity and then add it into that load balancer. And this is one of the benefits of our network. So it's undersubscribed, which means there's always capacity and there's always additional room for customers to grow into. You know, there are at times unexpected spikes, you know, cascading type of effects, but we still have methods and protocols and procedures to mitigate those kinds of effects, like said indexing, like said caching. So even if the entire network were to go down for whatever reason, you would still be able to access at least some of the data.
Nice. In terms of, I mean, you and I connected because we were having a discussion about decentralization, and you made a really good point to me, which was that there are some players in the space that aren't necessarily as decentralized as they would like to make people think. And at the same time, you guys are spread all over the world, right? So one region of the world clamping down or doing something related to crypto regulatory or anything else, you guys are actually in a position of strength because you've got operations in most of the major countries and continents in the world. Do you want to talk about that a little bit for me and what your thoughts are on that?
Sure. So it's a balance, right? Again, you know, we have a lot of experience in this and we do believe in a decentralized future. And I believe that blockchain, public blockchains are already that change. Like if you wanted to verify the data, if you didn't think that the data coming from us is honest, you could download a copy of the blockchain and you can verify it. And if you needed the highest level of privacy, security, and decentralization, you could run these nodes yourself. They're to run a single node nowadays, you could do it. Like it was a lot more difficult in 2017, 2018, but now you have multiple clients, you have multiple flavors, different networks that you can use. And traditional companies like us and Google Cloud have opened up to hosting certain like single nodes. Again, what we offer is different than that, but let's say you did want that kind of level of privacy and security.
Right.
And some of the companies claiming to be decentralized, I'd say they're no more decentralized than we are. So we do run multi-cloud, right? So we work with 7 different vendors. And with each vendor, we work across at least a half a dozen regions, and we're distributed in over 15 or 16 regions worldwide. If one provider were to go down, it wouldn't affect us. We would just fail over to the capacity we have with other providers. Or if there was a problem with a certain region, you know, let's say there's a power outage on the entire US East Coast, we can fail over to our US Central servers, to our US West servers, to our European machines. So there is a lot of flexibility there, and it allows us to also maintain a high level of quality. You know, I do think that independent node operators are important, but it does sacrifice performance and sure, quality of service, which, you know, we're trying to appeal to businesses and enterprises who need, you know, consistency, need reliability, need that performance. And so this is the best balance, in our opinion. And then also to speak on, you know, some of these other companies, they are US entities with C-level executives, board members. And so unlike Ethereum or Bitcoin, which do not have CEOs, you know, these are just code. It's code that has been set free and is out in the open. I feel like we're susceptible to, you know, similar things that those decentralized networks or quote unquote decentralized providers are.
Yeah, it makes sense. And obviously, from a demand perspective, larger entities, larger corporations need the reliability and performance that you can provide and don't want to have to manage and build that. So I think it makes a ton of sense. And you actually, you know, I was tweeting with this kind of mission-based attitude about decentralization. And I think it was really valuable and healthy to have you push back a little bit on that to me and say, well, wait a minute. First of all, maybe those aren't as exactly what you think they are. And so that was, I was taken a little bit back about that. But secondarily, your approach to it and your approach to kind of eventually hoping to migrate to even more decentralization than what you currently have. So that was to me a wake up call. What's kind of coming next for Quicknode? I mean, are you guys, do you really think that the focus of your company long-term will be on these kind of core infrastructure services that you're providing now? Do you have other things that you want to provide around that? Where are you guys headed that you can talk about?
Sure. I'll draw an analogy is that we're like the electric company, right? You can take electricity and you can pull it from us, and then or another one, or like an oil company. You can take this raw material and then you can refine it into whatever final product. So I do see us moving up the, let's say, the chain, where we can provide at least certain packages. Now, let's say you wanted to build an NFT marketplace. We would take this product, this API, this service, and this piece of open source code, and we say, here you go. This is something you can work with. This will give you everything you need. And so those kind of packaged up solutions are definitely something we're working towards. And at the end of the day, what we do today is the RPC infrastructure is extremely difficult.
Right.
We've seen companies come and go. We've seen companies maybe scale to, you know, a couple of hundred users and then couldn't figure out how to scale further.
Right.
And yeah, it's because they don't have, you know, 20 years experience in infrastructure and hosting and everything that, you know, we're stemming our experience from. So every day we strive to provide 100% uptime, to improve performance, lower latency, improve reliability, everything that comes along with that. And man, it's a wild west, because you know this is open source code, changes frequently, people do funny stuff on the networks, and you know there's the, because they're permissionless, you know, you can spam it certain networks. But with every challenge there comes a solution, which then brings maturity to the space. So you know, the ecosystem as a whole is just working towards a better future, where things work as expected and work more like the web works today.
That's great. And so you guys are really going to be solely focused on being the infrastructure providers that are needed for whatever chains come along, I would assume. And I'm sure there'll be other auxiliary products that come out around that for you guys, but I love the focus, and I think it makes sense. In terms of the chains that you guys support, do you have any idea of kind of the top five that provide traffic to you guys, or that are driving traffic to you? I know this is not a scientific data, because it's just happens to be whoever chose to use you, but I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, you can see there's through your NAS and your Dune, through Artemis, aka Goku Stats, you can go and you can see where the activity is. And typically nowadays it's on Ethereum, Polygon, Solana, and then a couple of layer twos like Optimism, Arbitrum. You know, we support 16, and right, that is, they are what we have meant to be, the ones where there are the most developer activity, where there is growth and growth in the ecosystem. You know, there's probably 50, maybe even, you know, you go to CoinMarketCap, there's hundreds of different blockchains.
Yep.
Yeah, but many of them aren't doing too much, and there's not much of a business use case, you know, like a business use case there. But you know, there's new ones coming up. You know, there's Aptos, Sui, there's maybe one or two more, I don't remember off the top of my head, that are on our radar. So, you know, there's always new ones coming up, and we're always keeping our hand on the pulse of the industry to see which one's gaining traction, where is their developer activity, where is the demand coming from. And I feel like one of our advantages is because we have, you know, this set of customers that we have today. I think we have over 100,000 users on our platform. They are constantly giving us feedback, and we can always ask them, you know, we're always having conversations with businesses and enterprises on, you know, what's on your roadmap, what can we help you with, what are your pain points, how can we help you succeed in your mission.
Yeah, I love also the model of the fact that you are targeting developers, as are the chains all targeting developers as customers per se. And the interesting thing is that when you add a chain, that community, they all talk, and they talk about what they use and how they use it. And so if they're happy with you, they're going to say, hey, you should give QuickNode a try if you're deploying on this chain. And it's funny, because on my daily lunch show, I often about how poorly some chains are doing to recruit developers and others who do it very well. And I find it interesting that for you, the data point is there a lot of developer activity here? Then that makes sense for us to go after it. And I know how difficult it is, having built organizations that had to target third-party developers for a platform. It's a lot of work to evangelize that and train it and provide the materials that makes them feel like they're welcome and to make the APIs easy to use. Is there anything else about Quicknode that we should know? Are you guys hiring? Are you looking for testers of anything, new products or anything like that? Anything else we should know about what's going on with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, we're hiring. So if you go to our website, quicknode.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a link to our careers page. There's at least 6 positions, I believe, we're hiring for right now. And, you know, we hire intentionally. We've been fortunate not to have to overhire and then have massive layoffs. Nice. We hire only when we need to. So, and all the perks that come with remote work. So it's great. We have some of the most talented, most amazing people that are working at Quicknode. And, you know, you did mention developers, and you know, we have a fantastic DevRel function that focuses on appealing to developers and helping them cross the chasm into Web3, whether that be, hey, I don't know anything about blockchain or Web3, or, you know, I'm on my third project, I'm looking to level up. So we have both types of content there. And as far as beta testing, if you sign up for our platform, there are certain places in our dashboard where you can request beta access. So there's you know, a contact us form. So if there's any feedback or if there's a feature request, you can always hit us up. And if we have something that's cooking that you would be a perfect beta tester for, then, you know, we'll establish a line of contact and get you into the beta testing program.
Nice. All right. So I asked 2 questions of every guest on the show. And the first one's going to be interesting because you've got 2 perspectives, right? You're an incredibly successful founder of a company that does what you do, but you also have great insights into what works for founders of protocols in the crypto space, because you guys are working with them, evangelizing them all the time. But the question is, if you had any advice from your own experience or from Quicknode's experience in the space for founders of new protocols, besides signing up for Quicknode, what kind of advice would you give them for building and growing something successful?
Have a positive outlook and try to look several steps into the future. You know, with several protocols that we've worked with, infrastructure wasn't a concern for them, like public RPC or like free RPC wasn't a concern for them until they hit the growth curve. And at that point, it was too late to start, you know, building relationships and standing up the infrastructure. So having a strong infrastructure partner, and yes, I'm plugging Quicknode in a way, but I can't stress how critical that is, because those protocols can then approach these bigger projects and companies and say, hey, we have a trusted partner who's been in the space for 5 years and is super reliable and can work with you to achieve what you want to do at scale. So this is why you should move to our protocol. And yeah, on the positive outlook, you know, there's, as with any new technology, there will be challenges, there will be ups and downs and peaks and valleys, but just know that everything that you imagine and that you're pushing for is on the other side of that. So, you know, keep pushing, keep going through it. It's temporary, and focus on your mission and your goals.
That's great, man. That's awesome. The other question I ask everybody is, of folks or projects, people or projects, it's usually a person in DeFi, in crypto, is there anyone that you have found inspirational, important, or that you think is really critical to the space because of what they're doing? So it could be a project, it could be a person, anything like that you think of off the top of your head.
Yeah, so, you know, there are a number of dev personalities. Let me do a quick Google search. Patrick from Chainlink, you know, he's put out so much content. There's like a 32-hour Solidity course, which is basically a free masterclass on Ethereum development. Gabbit, formerly The Graph, I think formerly Celestia. I don't recall where he is now, but he's been a huge contributor to educating people, educating developers, getting people into the space. I know a lot of people who have successful projects running on Quicknode today say, well, look, these are the guys where I started learning all my stuff from. Let's see. Oh, and Austin Griffith, obviously from Ethereum. You know, also tons of educational content. I feel like this early on, these are the real superheroes, the people that are teaching for free, teaching people how to use this technology, how to leverage this technology so that the next generation can grow up leveraging all the benefits of this technology without knowing that this technology even exists. Like how many times do you use PayPal and think about SSL or TLS? Like it's just there. It's just transparent, right?
True. Absolutely.
But so this is the vision we have as well, is like, how do we get this nascent tech to a place where we, all the people in the world, everyone that's connected to the internet, can leverage all the benefits and have it be smooth, transparent, and trustless.
Those are great answers, because I love the educational focus. It obviously ties into what you guys have taken as an approach to the market as well, and to helping people grow, which obviously it benefits your business. But the fact is that the more people provide educational content and help developers and help users, obviously the better we're all going to be off in the space. So appreciate that. Dimitri, thank you so much for being on, man. I appreciate you taking time. It's really great to connect with you. Maybe at some point we'll hook up at an event here in Miami when we're both around. But I really do appreciate you coming on board and joining and telling me about Quicknode, and really, really impressed with everything you guys are doing.
Thank you, Brad. This was fun. Appreciate your having me on the show. And I hope the listeners learned something and enjoyed the talk.
Excellent.